This morning we're about to open your Bibles from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 21. The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 21. A reading from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 21, beginning with verse 1. Hear now these words. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, you have no fish, have you? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast a net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, so they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Peter said to him, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. The second time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, do you love me? And Peter said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Verily truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wish. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten the belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. After this, Jesus said to Peter, follow me. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following him. He was the one who reclined next to Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is that that's going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about him? Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remains until I come, what is that to you? Follow me. So the rumor spread in the community that the disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but if it is my will that he remains till I come, what is that to you? This is the disciple who is testifying to these things and has written them,
and we know this testimony is true. But there are also many other things that Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that will be written. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This morning, I want to talk to you about this beachside breakfast. And I was reminded about this time last year. My mother, who is very inquisitive, you might say, she was going through some papers and she found the church bulletin. And she got upset and told my dad that I had given a sermon called Party on the Beach. So Dad got the church bulletin to check it out. And it did not say party on the beach. It said breakfast on the beach. And then Dad saw the scripture reference, John 21:1-25. Now, Dad is actually very smart in the Bible. Now, he's not a good candidate for Jeopardy. You got to push that button and do it in 3 seconds. He can't do that. He has to think about it. But he looked at it and said, well, I think that is the scripture where Jesus appeared to disciples on the beach and he had breakfast with them. So, good job, Dad. So, Mom thought I was giving some crazy sermon, you know, and Dad knew what I was talking about. So, our story begins, see, the Sea of Tiberias. We know that better as the Sea of Galilee. The Roman governors had this very obnoxious habit of renaming everything after the Roman emperors. So instead of calling it the Sea of Galilee, they start calling it the Sea of Tiberias in honor of Caesar Tiberius. Okay? But just be wary, that's the Sea of Galilee. And we got Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel, the sons of Zebedee, that means James and John, and we got two others. So we don't know who they are officially. What do you do after all the craziness they've been through? You know? Now, sometimes when life gets crazy, it's just nice to have some normalcy, right? So what was a normal thing for Simon Peter back before he met Jesus? Go fishing, okay? So he says, I'm going fishing. They said, we'll go along with you, okay? You know, so they jump in the boat, fish all night long. Didn't catch anything. Not even the goldfish. They couldn't even find Nemo that night. And so here it is, just after daybreak, just after sunrise. And there is a stranger on the shore. And that stranger calls out to them, children, you have no fish, have you? And they call back, no. The stranger calls back, cast a net to the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. Well, I mean, we got nothing to lose, but all right, here, let's try it. They cast in, verse 6 says, and now they were not able to haul it in because there's so many fish. And when I read that verse and verses similar to that in Matthew and Luke that happened earlier in Jesus' ministry, I'm always reminded of that scene from that great classic movie, Jaws, when the shark first appears, goes around the boat, and that one guy says, you will need a bigger boat. And I'm thinking, no, we need to get back to shore. Well, they needed a bigger boat because they had caught so many fish just like that. And then if we had the guy called the disciple whom Jesus loved, and a lot of folks will say that was John. I've heard their theory. I think it's interesting. They imagine it was Lazarus. You know? But anyway, whoever this guy was, he turns to Peter and says, it's the Lord. And Peter has to be thinking on once, oh, snap. This deja vu again, as Yogi Berra say. Because back when we were just beginning, Jesus got my boat and gave a sermon. And then he turned to me and says, let's cast out. And I said, oh, Lord, I fished all night. Didn't catch nothing. I'm tired. I'm ready to go to bed. But if you say so, we'll do it. And when I and Andrew and James and John drop our nets, the boats begin to sink because there were so many fish. And I said to the Lord, O Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. But Jesus said, do not be afraid, From now on, you'll be fishers of men. And so when Peter realized what was going on, he put on his cloak. I know it says he was naked. Well, that man in that culture was. He had on that little loincloth. Put on his robe, jumped in, went swimming. You know, he just couldn't paddle like anybody else could. He had to jump in and get to Jesus. The disciples came in the boat, dragging a net full of fish. And I like how the author says this. It shows difference in culture and perspective. For they were not far from land, only about 100 yards off. Now, Herb, 100 yards sounds sufficiently like a football field. And I thought, if I had to drag a boat full of fish across a football field, that is not just only 100 yards off. That is a long distance for me to be out there doing all that'd be work. So they get ashore. There's a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. And Jesus said, bring some of the fish you have caught. So Simon Peter goes back, and there he is soaking wet and lay out the fish. 150 large fish. And Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. And listen to this verse. Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. They didn't recognize him at first. They even spoke to him. But now there was no doubt this was the risen Jesus Christ. And then listen to this. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them. Now, where have we heard that before? And then he did the same with the fish. Think about that. Jesus was serving breakfast, serving the bread, serving the fish. I remind what Jesus said, how the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to lay down his life as a ransom for many. And of course, you call in John's gospel how during Holy Week, Jesus one by one washed the feet of his disciples and said, you call me master and teacher, and that is true. But if I, your master and teacher, have washed your feet, how much more should you wash the feet of the others? You must have that servant heart. And then here they are at the breakfast table. They have a little conversation. And those of you with family and siblings, did you ever have a conversation at the dinner table with your parents and you kind of wish, can we have this conversation some other time? Because this really does involve all my brothers and sisters, you know. But mom and dad, for some reason, feel like we had to talk about this at the dinner table, the breakfast table. So here's Simon Peter, probably still wet from being in the water. Got around the fire with his buddies and Jesus. And Jesus asked him, Simon, son of John. Now, interestingly, John is another version of the name Jonah, which I think is appropriate. You know, if Jonah being on the water in a boat, what a better name for a fisherman, right? Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my lambs. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Tend my sheep. Simon, son of John, do you love me? And this time, Simon Peter is offended. He's hurt. Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep. Now, question, why did Jesus feel the need to ask Peter the question, do you love me, three times? At that fire with all these people watching. Well, I don't think Peter realized it at the time, but what Jesus was doing was he was restoring him to that fellowship and that place of leadership. We mean, well, the night of the Last Supper, Jesus had warned Peter specifically, Simon, Simon, Satan's been asking for you, and I've been praying for you. And I've been praying that after you recover from your lack of faith, that you would strengthen your brothers. And Peter, being in the flesh, started his boasting and bragging. Now, Lord, these others might desert you. But you can depend on me, Peter the Rock. I'll be with you to the end. I'll go to prison with you. I'll die with you. Oh, Peter, Peter, would you die for me? I tell you in truth, before the rooster crows, you should deny 3 times you even knew me. And so that night in the garden, Peter falls asleep and wakes up and acts rashly and pulls out a sword and cuts off the part of the servant's ear. And Jesus heals the servant and tells Peter, "Give up your sword. Those who live by the sword shall die by the sword. Must I not drink the cup my Father has given me?" And Peter, to his credit, though, he doesn't take off running. He follows Jesus from a distance. And you recall that Jesus on trial in the house of the high priest, and this beloved disciple, whether he be John or Lazarus, that's why I think he's more Lazarus, he got security clearance, actually goes outside, grabs Peter and says, "He's with me," and gets him past security. But someone asks Peter, "Aren't you one of those disciples of Jesus?" No. I don't know who that is. And then Peter gets by the fire there in the courtyard, and he's close enough to see what's going on and hear what's going on, but he's not standing right next to Jesus. He don't do that. A little while later, you got a Galilean accent. Are you one of those Jesus disciples? No, I don't know who that is. A little while later, one of the servants of the high priest comes up and warms his hands. "Hey, man, I recognize you. You were in the garden. You're the guy that had the sword. You're the one trying to protect Jesus. You're one of his disciples." No. I swear to God, I don't know who this Jesus is." And Luke's gospel said, at that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. The rooster started crowing. And Peter remembered the words of the Lord and ran out bitterly weeping and crying. 3 times near the fire, Peter had publicly denied he knew Jesus. That's a serious offense to commit. For Jesus said, "If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Heavenly Father." But you know, it's kind of like in the boxing ring. 1, 2, 3, you're out. But God's mercy can put us back into the game. 1, 2, 3. "Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me?" Jesus was restoring Peter back to his position of leadership by giving him 3 times to say how much he loved Jesus. And then listen to Jesus' response. "Feed my lambs." You know, that's what we do when we have youth Sundays. We feed our lambs. Vacation Bible school, when we do the Christmas program, we're feeding the young members of our congregation. And then he says, "Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep." You see, Peter was going to be the leader of the church. And doing so, Jesus was to give him a solemn promise, a solemn charge to take care of the flock. And isn't it interesting how years later, when Peter is an old man, he writes a letter, 1 Peter. Listen to this, chapter 5, verse 1. "Now, as an elder myself," again, he's an old man at this point, "as a witness of the sufferings of Christ." In other words, he probably watched Jesus being crucified from a distance. "As well as one who shares in the glory to be revealed, I exhort the elders among you to do what? To tend the flock of God that is in your charge, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you do it, and not for sordid gain, but eagerly. Don't do it because you have to, do it because you get to. Don't do it for some monetary reason. do not lord it over those in your charge. In other words, don't be a dictator. Don't be a cult leader. Don't be bossing around. But be examples to the flock. Be a person of integrity that follow your example. Why? And when the chief shepherd appears, that'd be Jesus, you will win the crown of glory that never fades away. We call that the shepherd's crown. Why did Peter write that in that letter? I think because he was thinking about the words Jesus gave him on the beach. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. I remember back at Vacation Bible School at the County Methodist Church. One year we had a week about Peter, his ups and downs. And they even taught us some Peter songs. And I still remember one about this scripture. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep, Peter, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then Jesus goes on to give Peter a forecast of the future. He says, Peter, when you were younger, you used to be on your own belt. And you got up and went where you wanted to go. But when you're an old man, you will stretch out your hands. Someone else will fasten the belt around you and take you somewhere where you do not wish to go. And the writer says that he was talking about how Peter's death as a martyr that would glorify God. And according to church tradition, during the time of Nero, when he was rounding up the Christians told Peter, Peter, leave the city of Rome. Get out while you can. And according to the tradition, while Peter was leaving, he had a vision of Jesus walking to Rome. Lord, where are you going to? And according to tradition, Jesus said, I'm going to Rome, be crucified again. Follow me. And Peter took that as realizing that this was his time to fulfill that promise he made to Jesus. Jesus, I'd be willing to die for you. And according to tradition, he went back to Rome to meet with the martyrs, to be with them when they were on trial. And one tradition says that Peter asked a request. I'm not worthy to be crucified the way my Lord was crucified. And he has to be crucified upside down. Now, I don't know how historical that is, but I feel like there has to be some truth that Jesus, Peter's death, dying as a martyr for the cause of Christ. And so Jesus tells him again, follow me. How many times has Peter heard that? Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. If any man wishes to be my disciple, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. You see, we become a Christian in a moment of time when we're born again. But to be a disciple, that is a daily commitment. It's like when you get married, in 1 minute, you say those vows, your husband and wife. But every morning, you got to make a commitment to love, to honor, to cherish, and hold the death of your part. In 1 minute, they can do your transcript, and you're now a central charger, freshman orientation. But every day, you got to make a decision to get up and go to school and do your best. In 1 minute, you can sign the papers, take the oath to be in the U.S. military. But every morning, you got to make a decision, get out of that bunk, and go do what you need to be doing. And because if you don't, that drill sergeant will help you get out of that bunk, make you do what you need to be doing. That commitment to follow Jesus. And then Peter turns and sees the blood disciple and says, well, Lord, what about him? And Jesus says, what is it to you? If I want him to live till I come back, what difference does it make to you? As for you, follow me. Peter, ain't none of your business. We're worrying about them. Too many of the Lord's people worry about everybody else. Don't be doing that. You worry about yourself. Are you following Jesus? And here we got that beautiful image. There's Jesus walking along the banks of the Sea of Galilee, leaving footprints in the sand. And what is Peter doing? walking in his footsteps. What should we be doing? Walking Jesus' footsteps. Follow me. And then I love these last two verses. This is the disciple who's testifying to these things and has written them. And we know that his testimony is true. But there are also so many other things that Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. No, there's something about the love of God. If the sea is made out of ink, he would draw the sea dry, and the scroll could not contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. You can never write enough words about the goodness and grace of Jesus Christ, what he's done for all of us. Amen.